On the air with us this morning is Minnesota Senator Al Franken. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jay.
Okay, let's talk about a number of things. Student loans and college affordability. I know you had your staff had a lot of meetings here in the state about this, and I know it's a concern of yours. So where do we stand with college affordability and that whole student loan increase? That's pending, is it not? Or yeah, looming, maybe, is the word.
That's the most immediate issue right now is interest rates on the Stafford loans are set to double from 3.4% to 6.8%. And that would affect some 200,000 Minnesota students. And I was the original co-sponsor of the bill not to let that happen. And we got our Republican colleagues to agree that they shouldn't double. And now we're having a little bit of a disagreement or different approaches on how to pay for it. But I'm hopeful we'll be able to get a compromise before July 1st when they're set to double. And it's just reflective of a bigger problem, which is it's just harder and harder to pay for college. And yet having some higher education is very important. And that's why I'm working so hard on this issue. You know, Minnesota ranks fourth in the nation in the level of debt that our students graduate with, about $29,000. And 71% of our students graduate with debt, and that's fifth highest in the country. So we have to address this. Now, I'm introducing within the next week or so the Understanding the True Cost of College Act. That's a bill I wrote to require colleges to use a universal financial aid award letter, because what I've discovered in going around talking to students and parents and guidance counselors that sometimes students get into a little bit more trouble than they bargain for, because they don't understand. It's hard to understand what these letters mean, because every school uses a different letter with different codes for different things. I did a press conference in St. Paul where the subsidized Stafford loan on one was listed as the subsidized Stafford loan, $1,750 per term. That was pretty clear that was a loan. And then the other letter, which was called an award letter, had the code was FFELP Stafford. And there was no indication at all it was a loan. You might have thought it was a grant. The kid might have thought it was a grant, or the parents. And usually on an aid, or an award, rather, you think, okay, an award. It's an award. You don't think you're going to pay back an award.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, so students actually sometimes are misled a little bit by these letters. So I want a uniform letter where they use the same codes, the same names for things, so parents and students can compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. And this is just a first, a step, but it's be an important step for helping students and parents to navigate one of the biggest financial decisions they're ever going to have to make. And I've had a lot of people thanking me, including guidance counselors in high schools, who say, they spend an awful lot of time trying to sort through these and figure them out.
Well, you've got a number of bills that are pending. Let's talk about the courthouse safety bill. I know that's advancing.
Yeah, well, that actually was sort of inspired, obviously, by the shooting in Grand Marais. And I have a bill that's bipartisan. I have a number of members of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Cornyn, Senator Graham, who are Republicans, who are on it. And it basically provides training for sheriffs. It makes resources available, such as, metal detector screening machines that are in the system. They're already there, so this doesn't cost money. And a couple of other things like that. And this would help rural, or actually it's suburban too, courthouses be safe.
Let's talk about post office closings. There was some good news, and there's some kind of, unknowns about this. I think that a number of small rural post offices are concerned about having their hours reduced. Was that part of the deal for not closing them, or what?
Yeah, well, basically, when I met first with the Postmaster General in December, he was talking about closing down about 120 rural post offices in Minnesota and about 3,000 nationwide. And I thought this was absolutely unacceptable. I asked him for a five-month moratorium. And since then, we have passed a bill in the Senate. We're hoping for the House to act to do a number of things. But one of them was to address this closing rural post offices. And he's come around to our way of thinking, which is he understands now this is where seniors get their medicine. This is where people get cancer medicine. This is where people get their daily paper. And very often the post offices are a center of community for people. So instead of closing these post offices down, he's trying to give these communities more flexibility. So like in Hovland, the proposal is to reduce the hours from 8 to 4 hours instead of closing it, which makes a lot of sense. And so that means people will be able to get these things that they vitally need every day. And we're also keeping a lot of the processing centers open. Duluth has, we just got the word the other day, good news, that it's going to be open at least through 2013, and hopefully we'll survive after that, because otherwise, you know, a letter from Grand Marais to across the street in Grand Marais would have to have gone down to Minneapolis. It doesn't make a lot of sense, and taken forever, and that would have been, I think, bad for the post office, because then you would have, instead of first-class mail being guaranteed from 1 to 3 days, they'd have to guarantee it 2 to 5, and I think people would stop using the post office, and you'd have a downward spiral. So, actually, some very good progress there, and again, we need a bill coming out of the House.
Well, if you do reduce hours to 4, how is that going to impact the people that work at these post offices? I mean, I've heard that there's a possibility that they might work part-time in one post office and move to another post office.
Yeah.
4 hours is kind of not a living wage, I would think. But
no, it isn't, and that's true. They may go from 4 hours from one post office to another, and what we're trying to do is return some of the money from the prepayment that the post office was required to do into the federal pension account, and this is billions of dollars, send that money back and use it to prepay people who want to retire early and those kind of things. So we're going to have to reduce the workforce, but we want to do it in a way that doesn't hurt people.
Something near and dear to our hearts is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting funding. How are we doing on that?
Well, I'm going to be fighting for that. It does incredible service in an incredibly good way, so I'm going to be fighting for that.
Well, it helps us talk to you every so often, and
yeah,
we'll do it again,
that
sir.
That too.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Jake. Bye.